In Romans it says twice that you might be established. Chapter 1 and chapter 16. So if you don't have Romans, you're not established. How wonderful. A good Roman can go anywhere in the New Testament. You know that. Good to have Romans under your belt. And here in chapter 5, it has to do with our standing. Justification has to do with a believer's standing. Notice it says in verse 2, in whom we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we what? We stand. So justification has to do with the believer's standing. Verse 9 and 10 and 11 has to do with our state, reconciliation, because we were alienated from the very life of God. So it's good to be a good Roman and have the joy of being justified. Incidentally, when you're justified, you're also redeemed and have your sins forgiven. Those three are linked up together, having to do with the believer's standing before God. Reconciliation, propitiation, sanctification has to do with our state. Isn't that wonderful, the work of Christ? We can joy in God through our Lord Jesus, who's performed that wonderful redemptive work, so we can come into the blessing of being having a standing before God, and also our state has been taken care of. And it's also now. Now when you get to heaven, verse 9. Much more than being justified now. So this takes place while we're in this life. We don't have to wait for the world to come or wait for the Father's house, but right here in this scene now.
The chapter that, or the point at which chapter 5 has reached in the book of Romans, it started out showing that there was the whole world was guilty before God. Every mouth is stopped. Nobody has anything to say. And we might say, well, there is no hope of having any joy at all. How could there possibly be joy when that's our condition? And then God brings his answer, and chapter 4 shows that it's justification by faith, not by works. What if chapter 3 says that, and then chapter 4 proves it by demonstrating things from the life of Abraham to show that it doesn't depend on our actions, our works. And you might say, if somebody reading this for the first time, what relief? God has provided some totally different way that doesn't depend on me at all, because I know in myself that I am completely hopeless to attain any standing before God. And so now chapter 5 brings in, as you said, justified by faith. Having been justified by faith, being justified by faith, we've proved it in chapter 4. We're asserting it as a truth in chapter 5, verse 1, and therefore we have peace with God. And if there is peace with God, then we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God at the end of verse 2. If there is peace with God, there can be the joy that is provided for us.
We can see that for a human being, we had said in the first study that we can enjoy happiness, but that's based on circumstances. And if the circumstances are happy, we're happy. And if they're not happy, we're not happy. But for the believer, there's joy. And this is not something dependent upon circumstances. We can safely say that the joy begins at conversion. It begins when a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have joy. And this is the beginning of real joy. Not a temporary happiness. I think Romans 5 brings us this point, as well as the others that have already been made. I was thinking of what happens in heaven at that moment of conversion as well. And in Luke 15, the Lord Jesus gave three stories. He told three stories, and the first one he talked about was a lost sheep. And at the end of that story, when the sheep was found, he said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Then he told a story about a lost coin, and that was a coin that the woman found. And he says in verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." So a person receives joy with the peace of God that they experience at the moment of conversion. But there's also something going on in heaven at that same moment. There is a celebration and joy that a sinner has come back, come to the Lord and repented. We think of joy in the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is now extending this to us when we get saved, and it is also impacting heaven. Isn't that wonderful? That the moment a person believes in the Lord Jesus, that there is a celebration in heaven. Joy, real joy.
I guess the question I would have then is, what it seems to me is that the joy and the peace comes, and it seems the joy is almost a bonus, that peace and joy aren't necessarily linked together. You could have peace with someone. That doesn't mean you have joy with them, okay? So the peace that the Lord Jesus has given us through his work comes also with his joy. Now, because we have peace with God, we also have access to the joy that we talked about in the first session. So are the two linked, or the two, I want to say bonus because I can't think of a better word.
Well, maybe I would say it this way, that verse 1 says that we have peace with God. And then there's really verse 2, in a way, talks about one thing that's present and one thing that's future. And both of them affect the way we think and behave and have our outlook now. That we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And having peace with God, we have access into this, by faith, into this grace in which we stand. We have access to God's presence. Having peace with God, we can rely upon. We spoke about not having any uncertainty in our relationship. The Lord Jesus had that this morning. We mentioned it, and we have that too. Because of having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access into God's presence, into the grace in which we stand. We can enter a foundation place of God's grace that we are, that our standing is secure. And then also we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We know that there is something coming more than even what God has already given us to experience here. There's the hope of the glory of God, the expectation, the hope that even more than having God's presence with us here, we will be in God's presence there with him. I think that would be implied or suggested in where it talks about in hope of the glory of God. We certainly appreciate the glory of God now to some degree, but in hope of the glory of God, to actually have this as another aspect of the promise of this, as an aspect of this justification and peace and all the parts of salvation that are connected here. So I'm not sure if I'm exactly touching on the phrasing you use, but to say that having peace with God, we have, it appears we have one result that affects us now and one result that affects us now, which is looking onward to hope of the glory of God. And that is where the joy is in the context specifically mentioned, although I think we can put joy into all of these phrases.
I think, Steve, just to add that joy is going to be the outflow of having had peace with God. We needed peace with God because we were enemies of God. There is an enmity that existed between us and God, and it appeared irreconcilable. But God is a God who reconciles things. So God came in through the person of Christ and established a righteous basis on which we can have peace. The righteous basis is the death of Christ. And now we are no longer at a distance. The gap that has been there between us and God, and very often it is said that it was bridged. It's not bridged. It was removed, completely removed, so that there is access now to God. On the basis of the death of Christ, and that is what gives us peace. and we go on in that peace in a settled disposition and reality, because now there is nothing that disturbs us anymore, because chapter 8 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation. So the peace that we have has removed any condemnation. And the result of that is that we can enjoy and rejoice in the joy that comes consequent upon that.